There we are.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It is morning.
These seats up front right here are for a cloud of witnesses. So when you're here, I want you to think about that, because that's what your life's like. There's a heavenly cloud of witnesses that are watching you live out your faith. And when you live out that faith, it pleases God, and these people here are in heaven. Okay, so think about that. Anyway, we're going to begin a new study. If somebody wants to be bold, and you can kind of fill in these tables here, so when people come in, they don't feel like I'm the only one. It takes a lot of courage. I'd appreciate it if you do that. I have no idea why these are here, to be honest. But today we're going to open up in prayer. And so I want to do that because I had a little bit of a cold, my first one in about 5 years. I got to speak tomorrow, and I was trying to put all this stuff together, and I thought, God, are you going to get me through this? And surprisingly, that's what our message is today. It's about God getting us through, okay? It's about God getting us through. So let's pray that God will do that. Lord, your word is certain. Your word is sure. Your word is your word, and we can trust it. It never wavers. It never fades. It never goes away. It is certain beyond all measure. Lord, we don't want to doubt. We don't want to doubt you. And Lord, I know that your word is sure. So Lord, I pray that today that your word said that it would never, not ever come back to you void. But it would always do what you set it out to accomplish. So Lord, my expectation and our expectation is that what you promised will happen. Because you're God. You're the God, Lord, of the Israelites. You're the God, Lord, of everybody that is here. You're the God, Lord, of the disciples. You're the God, Lord, of the whole world that doesn't even know you. But you're God. And we honor you. We honor you now, this morning, by praying this. We thank you, Lord, that that is to your glory. And we give this morning over to you in the full expectation that you will superintend it, that your sovereignty, Lord, will be pronounced throughout everyone here. And I pray this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, anyway, what we're going to do today, there's a red book. Where is it at? Anybody have it? This is a book. This is a little book. It's $5. $5. Kind of maybe the price of some meal you get, okay? But it's $5 and it's worth a lot more. When you digest this, it won't come back to you void. Because in this book is scripture. In this book is the scripture that goes throughout the whole Old Testament and New Testament. And it's scripture that's going to help you when you go through this book to actually live through difficult times, okay? So I want you to kind of buy this book if you haven't got it. And I want you to think about it. But that's what I want you to do. So this book is called The Red Sea Rules. I don't necessarily like the name of it. I'd rather have it called The Principles of Scripture. But that's not mine. I didn't write the book. So I want you to do that. And what we're going to do today, though, is next week, just to give you a highlight, next week Dennis Dern is going to be here. He's actually going to be here. He's actually staying with me at my house. Because next week I go to a wedding, Dennis goes to a wedding, we opened up our opportunity for him to stay with us. So he's going to come here and actually speak to you on the first rule that you find in that book. So what does that mean I'm going to do today? I'm going to try to whet your appetite for what's coming, okay? And if I can whet your appetite and get you a little bit excited, perhaps you'll be a little bit more apprehensive and you'll actually go into it and you'll actually read it and do what I'm asking you to do. Okay? Because I believe that this book is going to change your life. I believe it's going to change your life because it's scripture that's inside this book. And I believe scripture changes your life. So we're going to go on a 12-week journey. A 12-week journey. Think of the Exodus, which was this journey. You're going to go on a journey. And you're going to go on a journey with God. And when you get done with that journey, you're going to be a different person. So this particular journey, though, we're going to start with this one chapter of the Bible. One chapter. We've never done this before. We're going to spend 12 weeks in one chapter. Don't get bored on it, because this is going to be good. It's 12 weeks. It's God speaking to you for 12 weeks. And I believe that it's ordained by God for this. So this chapter, though, is not just a fleeting chapter. This is a chapter in the Bible, this Red Sea crossing, God talks throughout the whole Bible about. It's everywhere. There's dozens of times in the Bible that God talks about the Red Sea crossing. I want you to think about that. He wants you not to ignore it. I'll just read you a couple of verses. Here's Hebrews 29. It says, by faith, they were passing through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were all drowned. So there it is there. In Psalm 78:13, it says this. It says, he divided the Red Sea and caused them to pass through it. And he made the waters stand up as a heap on each side. Not some little wind that just kind of had there. And they didn't go through necessarily a sea of reeds because, quite frankly, the Bible throughout the other 24 places actually uses the words Red Sea, including the New Testament authors. And it wasn't just 3 inches of water or 4 inches of water that the winds blew, because that would have been hard for an entire Egyptian army to drown in. Okay? This is a miracle of God that he is actually reminding you of. And he's reminding you of this because he does not want you to ignore it. He doesn't want you to ignore it. So over 12 weeks, you're going to do the best you've ever done, and you're not going to ignore it. I was at a wedding last weekend. It was in Madison. And it was with a nephew of mine who I dearly love and I like, actually. Very nice guy. He's a professor at Madison. His wife is a wonderful woman. I enjoy them all. And I went to a wedding, and I'll tell you, after the wedding, I was troubled. I was troubled in my spirit for days after that wedding. Because in that wedding, they had made a decision with the hundreds of guests, whoever it was outside, that the name of, that the G word would not be used. And when I say the G word, I mean God. And so, you know, they talked about, and this is not, has anything to do with him. This is a society, it was kind of millennial type of thing, but I think it's all over. But the reality was that the G word would not be used. And so when they said that, they talked about nature and the porcupines and everything else. And I was okay with it a little bit, but I just kept thinking, well, who made the porcupines? You know, and the creator wasn't necessarily, it was ignored. And finally, I actually heard his name mentioned by one of the wedding guests later on, a curse at a toast. And I thought, okay, so that's the only time God gets mentioned, but he's totally ignored otherwise. And so my point is this. God does not. I started thinking of judgment because I thought of the Egyptians who 10 plagues, God said to them, don't ignore me, don't ignore me, don't ignore me, don't ignore me. Count to 10, don't ignore me. And they ignored him. And then what did all those scriptures I just read say? It said, then the walls of the water came over them and drowned them. They were judged by God. If you ignore God, you'll be judged by God. But that wasn't just for these people attending the wedding. Quite frankly, I was convicted in my spirit for me. Because what God said to me was, Greg, he said, the world is going to be judged. The world is ignoring me. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that I have given to you in your heart. And are you taking it seriously? Are you ignoring it? If you're ignoring it, quite frankly, you'll be judged. You should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation to the Gentiles, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. If you ignore the gospel of salvation, you're ignoring God. Now, however you preach the gospel, whether it's with words or deeds, but the reality is that you need to preach the gospel on a regular basis. You cannot be ashamed of the gospel. So when I said that about the wedding, I was convicted. And quite frankly, I should be convicted more than they were convicted in one sense, because I'm a disciple of Christ. And so what I want you to do is when you go over these 12 weeks, I don't want you to ignore this story. Okay, this journey that we're going to take for 12 weeks is this. By the way, we're going to go a little bit to Fred Schneider, one of his favorite verses in Isaiah, Fred, for your sake, 43:1-2. Okay, but this journey is how you react. This whole Exodus story tells you how to react and live through difficult times and circumstances. Believe me, you are not going to go through this life without difficult times and circumstances. Jesus Christ promised you, and his promises are certain. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You not may, you not probably, you might, you will have tribulation. And so if you ignore that expectation and you set false expectations, you're setting yourself up for tragedy. This book's going to help you live through those circumstances. Okay? So it's the idea is that God wants to tell us through this chapter. He has an irreplaceable presence, power, presence. That's what he has. And he has a perspective that he wants to give you. So I'm going to promise you two things. Think of this. I want to remind you of these two things. By the end of this 12 weeks, this is my promise. Thank God I got giving me this promise. It says, hey, this study is going to help you improve at transitioning from panic to praise. The idea is that when you hit difficulties, the first thing you do is panic. And most of us just stay there. Okay? But we're hoping that what happens in this chapter is that you're going to go from panic, ultimately, to chapter 15 in Exodus, which is praise. You're going to be praising God. Think about that, how your life will change. The second thing I'm going to promise you is that when you're faced, and we all are, I've gone through hundreds, and I believe you have too, of times of fear. The fear is the word that God uses more in the Bible than almost any other one. There he says, fear not. It's the most popular statement in the Bible, fear not. There's a reason that he tells you to fear not, because there's an opposite to fear that he wants to cure. It's called faith. So you're going to go from fear to faith. Trust me, that's what's going to happen as you go through this chapter. If you don't think it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You're going to start changing. You're going to start transitioning. A lot of you are there already, but even if you're there already, you're going to move further on. Okay? It's not like you've ever arrived. If you've arrived, you can just go to heaven right now. But I don't think that's the case. Okay? Why does God tell you this? Because this is his will. It's his will because he wrote it, as I said before, he told the story in the Exodus and the Red Sea crossing. It's dozens of times in the scripture. Dozens of times in the scripture he mentions it. He tells it because it's his will that he wants to give you principles that are godly principles to live by. God's rules, God's principles, God's commandments are of God. He honors those. And so he wants you to live by them. So what I'd like you to do is this, and this is my introduction. Again, I'm just kind of trying to whet your appetite. Two things. One, every week I want you to read Exodus 14. I don't think you've ever done this, but maybe you have, but I'd like you to read it every week. Every week. The Word of God will not return unto you void. You memorize the Scripture. You put it in your heart. And as Jonah said, he was down in the deep valley of a well. All of a sudden, he starts reciting Scripture. That's impossible to do unless you memorize it, unless you put it into your heart. God cannot stir you up by way of reminder if there's nothing in you to stir up. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it's not in there to stir up, what's he going to do? So start doing that. Put it in your heart, okay? So, as I mentioned, we're going to go, this particular scripture, I want you to think about this, though, too. You're thinking to yourselves, perhaps, oh, it's Exodus 14, it's one chapter. Oh, you're going to pull something out of it. No, I've read this chapter. Everything in this chapter is collaborated throughout the whole Testament, the New Testament and the Old Testament. Every principle here, from praying to praise, everything in there is out throughout the whole book. You will not find a principle in here that you do not find in the New Testament. So that's one of the reasons I don't want you to ignore it. There's other three simple reasons I'm going to tell you not to ignore it. One, you probably didn't, maybe you know this, but God was at work then, and God's always at work. And Jesus Christ actually said that. He says, my Father is at work, my Father is always at work, and so am I. A lot of us don't recognize that God's at work, especially when we're in trouble, especially when we feel like God is ignoring us. But God is not ignoring you. God is not ignoring you. God said, I am at work, and you just don't see it. You don't see it. I want you to listen to this scripture here. It's in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. It says, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. Guess what the rock that accompanied them was? The rock was Christ. These Israelites, these people that were thousands of years ago, they're actually going through an Exodus journey. And guess what God tells us in the New Testament? God says, Jesus Christ was accompanying you. I am the Lord thy God, I change not, neither yesterday, today, or forever. I shall never leave you, and I shall never forsake you. Those that are faithful, Jesus Christ accompanied them in the desert. He walked with them through the Dead Sea, and he's walking through it with you now. Understand that some people ignore the Old Testament. I just want to read the New Testament. No, the rock was Christ. He's been there since the foundation of the world. He created all things. He upholds all of them by the glory of his power. Everything. Don't ignore Jesus Christ. You can't ignore him. Just because his name wasn't mentioned, his name was mentioned. It's called God. Okay? So that's the first thing. Remember, it says this in Luke. Jesus said this about himself. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with who? Moses and the prophets. He explained to them all the scriptures concerning himself." The Red Sea story, Moses going through the Exodus, talks about Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, a disciple of Christ, then you want to read these stories, okay? Second thing, these stories are written for your instruction. Okay? It's God's will to always make a way through the rough waters for you. That's his will. That's his promise. And this chapter, as I said, is going to give a complete summary of those principles. Romans 5:15-4, and I'm going to read you scripture here. It says, I'm going to read you a lot of scripture today. It says, "For everything that was written in the past," everything, you can ignore what you want, but God says, don't ignore any of it. You want to just flip through this chapter because you thought it was boring? He says, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance of the scriptures and encouragement they provide, we might have..." Well, where are you at? You're in a world. You're in a world that looks dead end. God says that through the endurance of the scriptures, you might have hope. 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 The word is a certainty in the Bible. The word, it means a certain, sure thing. Not something that may happen, not something that might happen, not something that you dream up. The word hope in Scripture always means a certain thing. That's your expectation. So stop imagining it as a wish. Okay? But that's what he's saying. He says that you will have hope. So I want you to understand that the other thing it says this. It says, "Now these things happen to them as an example, and they are written for our instruction, upon which the ends of the ages have come." So these things for instruction. The third thing, and this is kind of interesting, I just kind of want you to know this. I just thought I should tell you this, okay? Is that, you know, we read these stories about the Israelites. We read the story about Israel, and we think, well, that's the Jews. And we think, well, it has to do with the ancient Israel. And we categorize and we put them over here and we put us over here. And God kind of doesn't say that. You know what he says? He says this. He says this, that you are actually part of Israel. He says this in Romans 9:6-8. He says, "For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. That is, not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of promise are regarded as descendants of Abraham." You're a descendant of Abraham. You're part of Israel. Anyone that has faith in God is part of Israel. We can kind of join over here with Sandy, who is a physical descent, and come and say, hey, you know, of natural descent, but we can come part of spiritual descent. We join in his family. Okay? It says, "For he is not a Jew, which neither is one outwardly, nor is the circumcision which is outward in flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is from men, but from God." And then finally, this is the last verse here, it says, "If you are Christ, then you are..." You can't ignore words. "You are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Heirs according to the promise. That's Galatians. It says the children of the promise are those who put their faith in Jesus. The rock that followed them was Christ. When you put your faith in God, Yeshua, whoever, you recognize that he's God. You recognize, you bow your knee to him, your children of the promise. And what was that promise? I want to take us back and give us a little introduction to the Red Sea. And we'll close in a little bit. The promise started a long time ago. The promise was in Genesis 12, 2 through 3. And I got to hold this because I got to read the scriptures here and I got them written down. It says, I will make you into a great nation. This is Abraham. God went ahead and he said, hey, everybody's ignoring me. So he went and found a man. He called him. His name was Abraham. And he says, look, he started to have faith in God. And God said, I honor that. He says, I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the world will be blessed through you, Israel, through nations, through Abraham, and quite frankly, through you. If you're a child of Abraham, and the nations are not being blessed to you, there's something wrong with this promise, or there's something wrong with you. So when you come here, you expect that the people that are going to come here over the next 12 weeks, your job is to sit there and be a blessing to them. You're blessing them one another. Now, how is God going to do that? Because it really seems impossible. How is God going to bless the whole world through one man? Well, God's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. When Abraham was 75 years, he stopped in Canaan. Then God promised all that land to him. How is God going to do that? God's going to make a way. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 and they had no descendants yet. And they start laughing at God thinking, hey, this is going to work. Let's make our own way. I'll marry somebody else. I'll have somebody else's kid. God says, no, man's ways are not my ways. I will make a way. I will make a way.
The Jews believe that you can choose to be a descendant of Abraham.
The Jews? Yes. And they had disciples. They actually had people join the Jewish faith. That's true. So his son, who is to be a leader of all descendants, was thrown in the jail. And everything seems hopeless for his son, Joseph, his youngest son. Why? He's given a word of hope, but he's thrown into slavery. He's thrown in the jail. And for 22 years, it seems like, how is this dream that God gave me, Joseph says, ever going to come to fruition? He becomes one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt. Somehow, coincidentally, God makes a way. Okay? It's interesting, but then finally, God promised Abraham and Isaac and Joseph that he would take them to the promised land. They're in Egypt. They were there for 400 years. This is the chapter we're getting to. I told you we'd get there eventually. Okay? So 400 years. And what happens is, God says to them, you're slaves, but I'm going to set you free. All of you, a million of you, a couple million of you. We're going to get out of here, but you're all slaves. Well, how? I'm going to make a way. So he's going to make a way. So he does this, which brings us to our study. God's going to make him a way. But the weird thing is that God kind of puts him in a trap. And this is what Dennis is going to talk on next week. The trap is this. God says, when Pharaoh let his people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country that was shorter. God says, here's the easy way. If they face war, he said, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by a desert road towards the sea. And by day, he went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could not travel by day or night, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night, in its place in front of the people. In Isaiah, God says he's going to be our rear guard and our vanguard. Okay? So what happened is, they're trapped. They're trapped. The devil's behind them, in terms of Egyptians and all the chariots. The mountains are beside them, and the Red Sea is in front of them, and God led them into it. And that's what Dennis is going to talk about next week. Well, what I want to talk about is that God did this. God said, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind and night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea, in the very midst of it, upon dry land. And the waters were a wall on each side, onto them, right hand and on the left. Which brings me to the verse I wanted to talk about. It says, thus says the Lord, Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, he who knew you before you were born, he who called you by name, he who has written a name on a rock that only God knows, and he will reveal to you at a later time, says this, fear not, fear not. Remember I said that's a popular word for God? It says, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am that I am. I am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's what God said. He opens the waters. He says away. So I want you to notice just a few things here. One, and I wrote down five of them here, and then we're going to finish. It says, he does not tell them he will make a wall, awake a way around the waters. Right? Did you notice that? He didn't say, I'll make a way over the waters, like we're going to build a bridge. That's a good idea. Probably be my idea. Okay, but God says, no, we're going to do something a little different. We're actually just going to go through them. Okay, now this principle is not just for these Israelites. This principle is for you. That is how God is glorified. Psalm 23 says this. What does it say? It says, yea, though I walk, what? Where, wait, how do I walk?
Through
the valley of death. Not do I walk around it. Okay. No. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, thou will be what? With me. This is a principle. This is a principle. I want to get around it. You want to get around it if you're like me. God says, no, I got a better way. He says a better way. He says, I want you to go through it. The other thing he says, when you walk through the waters, when you walk through the waters, what does he not say? He does not say, if you walk through the waters. I'm sorry to say this in one respect, but I'm glad in another. God doesn't say, if you walk through the waters. He says that when you walk through waters. He does not say, in this world, you may have tribulation. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. The anti-gospel is a gospel that tells you you're not going to have any troubles. That's straight from the pit of hell. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that I'm going to walk through the waters because that's how I'm glorified. That's how I demonstrate that I'm God. And that's the only way that you're going to demonstrate that you have faith. Otherwise, you don't have any faith. So he doesn't say that. It takes faith to follow God. Hebrews 11:9 says this. I want to read this one more time. I read it at the beginning. By faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But the Egyptians, who did not have faith, tried to do so, and they were drowned. By faith, they walked through it. The other guys did not, and they were drowned. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For you must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he says. The other thing I want you to note here is this. How God delivers you may surprise you. Learn to expect this. Expectations mean everything. If you have wrong expectations, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be depressed, and you're going to be discouraged. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to have good expectations. He says for this. My thoughts, for everybody here and for me, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways. I will make a way. But neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We don't want to ignore God and have expectations that God's not going to make a way. You got to kind of expect that sometimes the way that God's going to make for you is not the way that you expect. I don't know what to say, but maybe you have to get in a habit of that. And finally, you need to recognize this. The God is at work. He's always at work. He's always at work. And you can't judge him by your criteria of success. Don't judge God by your criteria of success. Well, this hasn't happened yet, and this. You don't see the whole of eternity. I just read you a story through Exodus that took 1,000 years. God said, hey, to Abraham, I'm going to do this. He never lived to see that. Joseph never lived to see that. Moses never lived to see everything that happened. But God lived to see it. And now they live to see it. So understand that God is going to do things in your life because that's the way God does things. You let God be God. This week, I'll end with this. This week, I was watching CNN. And there was a story on it. And it kind of struck me. It was Anderson Cooper was there, and he sat down with an Ebola survivor, Nancy Reitbol, and her husband David. Did anybody see it? It was a good interview. That's exactly what it had. Here's what she said. I want to read part of the transcript. She said she was not afraid because of her faith. She would decide to go where God would lead her. She was not afraid because of her faith. She decided to go where God would lead her. If God's going to make a way, are you going to go where he's going to make a way for you? Or are you going to follow where he leads you? So she moved. Listen to this. She said, at first I was scared. She was honest. She was authentic. Very authentic. Actually, a very authentic interview if you look at it. She said, she basically moved from fear to faith. Why? Because she was trusting God would make a way. But God always makes a way for his disciples. He always makes a way for true Israelites. He always does. And she had this verse that came out. And how this verse happens, whether or not you're getting thrown to the lions or whether or not he's going to open up the Red Sea, it doesn't make a difference. This verse is always certain. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God." Nothing ever will separate you from the love of God. And you will know that peace. She memorized that verse. You have to memorize it. God's verse, when you trust him, becomes real. Recognize that his presence is always going to be his peace, no matter what the troubles. That's what she was saying. His presence is his peace. He's there with you when he takes you through the waters. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say, kind of get whet your appetite for the study that's coming up. Why don't we go ahead? I got some questions for you. Let's pray. Yeah, wait, you had something?
For those that maybe came in after you started, could you direct us to how to get a copy again?
Yeah, these are over on the table over there. They're $5 a piece. I've never seen a book that was $5 a piece, really, but it's worth it. It's hardcover. So, it's a great book. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, that you died on the cross and you sit at the right hand of the Father, Lord. Right now, you hear our prayers, Lord. You hold them in your hands as we pray. And sometimes, Lord, we don't see them answered right away. But, Lord, you never let go of those prayers. You cherish the prayers, Lord, of those that are prayed in faith. You honor them. You respect them. You love them. You're God. So, Lord, I pray that these men over the next 12 weeks, that this study, because it's your word, will change them. Have them, Lord, introduce other people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring them here, Lord, if you will, because it is your will. Let us be submissive to that will, Lord. We pray all these things in the mighty name of the rock that followed those, Jesus Christ. Amen.